Welcome to Catholic Sports View on Relevant Radio. A look at the athletes and coaches who shape the Trinity League. Exploring where athletics meets faith. Now, here is your host, Bob Gibson.
Thanks again for joining us this week on Catholic Sports. You're right here on Relevant Radio. I am Bob Gibson, and later on in the show, we're going to talk to Les Lukacs. He covers the state of California for Prep Baseball Report, and he has been covering everything in baseball in Southern California. We just wrapped up the CIF playoffs, and upon us is the baseball June amateur draft, and we're going to talk about all those things, all those great prospects, and some of those teams that won CIF championships with Les a little bit later on in the show. But we're going to kick things off by welcoming in one of our favorite guests. Let's welcome back to the program the head football coach at Modern Day High School, Bruce Rawlinson. Coach, always good to have you on the show. How things going?
Things are good. You know, I can't believe we turned into June already. I thought I put my Christmas tree away a couple of weeks ago, but here we are coming up on summer training. I thought we had an outstanding spring. Bob, we're actually on our dead period right now.
I don't want to bring up last season very much anymore because it's last season, but it was such a special season, I know, and they're all special to you, and you've had a chance to have those kind of years so often. But just in terms of how quickly do you turn the page and become the football coach of the 2019 Monarchs? How quickly does that transition happen?
Well, I think it's an interesting question. You know, I'm a sicko, probably literally. I came down from Sacramento with probably half the team. The other half had the release of liability. They stayed with their parents and provided their own transportation home. But I wasn't going to sleep that night as we drove down. And I started thinking about 2018 immediately. And it's nonstop. You have to kind of dial it back in pretty quickly because you have youth camps. You've got closure meetings with the coaches, evaluations. I usually get a lot of seniors in to debrief them on the positives and negatives. Obviously trying to, you know, better ourselves as the head coach, as a staff. But I won't lie to you, there's always going to be the hangover from what was accomplished. Because in the middle of that, you know, you're starting to talk about 2018, and yet you got to stop and order CIF state championship, national championship rings. You know, so what you do is you embrace it, but with your returning seniors, juniors, and sophomores, you're constantly talking about what are we going to be, who are we going to be for the 2018 season. But, you know, me minimizing it, I've done enough articles on JT Daniels and Amon-Ra to choke a horse at, and rightfully so. And then you add the unique situation of JT reclassifying, and everybody in America from Sports Illustrated on down wants the inside scoop. So we're probably past that now. They've graduated. You know, like I said, I thought we had a good spring. And, you know, now they've got a couple of weeks off, and then we start back up.
You know, it's interesting to me that you talk about those kids. Obviously, JT and Amon-Ra, and they deserve all the attention that they're getting, and we're going to be excited to follow their collegiate careers and beyond. But the group of kids that are coming back, and obviously, you know, we can talk about some of the transfer kids that have come in, and there's some exciting names that have decided to become modern-day Monarchs, and we're looking forward to seeing them. But I think about the kids who were part of this experience, and they're coming back now, and I think that's important to take those kids and the experience they had and exactly what that team went through to get to where they got to be able to say, this is the way it's done. This is how we do it at Modern Day. And how important is that to have those kids lead the way for you when you have so many new faces coming in as well?
You know, it's a great point. To try to explain to a kid that hasn't done it that there is a possibility of going 19 straight weeks of Monarch football, saying it, they'll say, okay, let's do it. But doing it, going to the experienced players, they've got to walk you through it. They have to stay on top younger players, because irregardless how you skin the cat, that's one long season.
Yeah.
You know, it's long on the coaches. It's long on the kids, physically, mentally, because in the middle of this, Bob, we're trying to tell them to keep their grades up, try to be a normal student, enjoy a dance once in a while. Yet, to be a champion, you have to sacrifice, and the commitment is god-awful. You know, it's pretty much you're always going to put your family and religion first. But after that, it's football. I mean, and the demands that I make are, they're not unreasonable. You know, they're the same demands that any championship program would make. But those demands are time-consuming and physically taxing. So there's a fine line. But I flip it around. I learned a lot, and my staff and I have talked a lot about preparing to maybe, if we're fortunate enough, go on another run like we did.
And it's so true. And I think you said this before so many times, you have to earn those three stripes on your helmet. Those aren't given to you. You earn that. You earn the right to become and call yourself a modern day monarch. That's a huge thing to achieve that.
Yeah, we go back to the basics. We go back to the philosophy that, you know, we have to reteach the entire offense, because we're going to design offense based on the strengths of your returning players. Our offense might not look different, but with the new quarterback, Bryce Young, it's going to be a different attack plan. He is a dual threat, a true dual threat quarterback. JT could run, and we know we've documented all of the runs that he made, but all of those runs were after taking a look at what was being featured in the coverage and then seeing some openings and taking off and going. Versus now with Bryce, you're going to do some zone keep and things like that. And you're going to move the pocket a lot more. So there's a lot of teaching there. Defensively, we are who we are. But now you've got to sell them on team defense. And you know, we try to say we keep the defense simple, but it's not simple. You have to make adjustments. And then you have to see what kind of profile you're getting on defense. Are you more of an attacking defense, more of a reading defense? Are you more of a zone coverage defense or a man-to-man defense? And everybody knows we're going to be man-to-man with the entire secondary coming back. That's really, everybody knows what we're going to do, and we're going to get up, we're going to attack you. But it's one thing to talk about it. It's one thing to put it on the board. It's one thing to show them video. It's another thing to go out and execute it. And that's where we're at. We're in a heavy teaching phase right now, representing the three stripes, you know, being true to the traditions of the past, being accountable, and developing leadership.
And those are big things. I know those are the hallmarks of what you've established there in your time at Modern Day. And those are things you take important. You don't take it lightly. Nobody's handed a job just because they're a big name or they've got all the talent. You earn your way into that lineup.
Talent. We've got talent coming back. And we've got some additional talent that's been added because that's where high school football is at. I mean, we win the national championship, and I have 9 boys leave the program. 5 of them, whatever. 4 of them were pretty good players, but unfortunately, they weren't happy here. But we have an infusion of transfers that you have to get to understand the modern-day way. But talent, Bob, that's going to win us 7 games, 6 games, maybe 8 games. It's leadership that when the magic happens. It's leadership and accountability that take you to those big wins. The Bosco, you know, hopefully wins, the Bishop Gormans, and I'm not downplaying any school in our league or any school on our schedule. But those are a different level game. The IMG game coming up in September, you know, that's when you have to have that unity, that bond, that commitment, that accountability, which is all really what you mentioned. Your leaders that are returning have to pull this team together in order to secure those victories.
and you had so much of that a year ago. Bruce Rollinson is the head football coach at Modern Day High School. He is our guest. Quick timeout right here on Catholic Sports View. And when we come back, much more with Bruce Rollinson, the head football coach at Modern Day High School. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Catholic Sports View on Relevant Radio.
Underwritten by the Roman Catholic Diocese of Orange, a community of 1.3 million Catholic faithful on a journey of faith together.
Private Catholic schools engage and develop all aspects of our students' curiosity. Beyond truly excellent education in core academic areas, Catholic schools have a full offering in the arts, visual, performance, and music. Several schools feature full orchestra, dance, band, and many other highly specialized programs.
Learn more by visiting rcbo.org/Catholic Schools. Underwritten by the Roman Catholic Diocese of Orange, a community of 1.3 million Catholic faithful on a journey of faith together.
Breaking news! A new and very special guest has been added for our Holy Land cruise this July. None other than Bishop Kevin Vann.
Join Bishop Vann, along with Bishop Tim Fryer, the diocesan choir, and priests from throughout the Diocese of Orange on a pilgrimage to Vatican City and Rome, followed by a Mediterranean cruise that will take you to some of the most beautiful and historic sites in all of Christendom. Call 877-538-0010 or go online to occatholic.com/travel.
Welcome back to Catholic Sports View. I'm Bob Gibson, and we continue our visit with the head football coach of the Modern Day Monarchs, Bruce Rollinson. Now, a year ago, if all of us that do this for a living, if we had to pick, try to nitpick one little area on Modern Day, we said, oh, maybe the defensive backfield's young, and that may be a little bit of an Achilles heel, but that turned into a strength as the season went on, as we know. This year, I think maybe going into people are going to say, well, that offensive line, a lot has changed on there. You graduated a lot of kids off that offensive line, and how's that going to shape up? How is that site? Because it's so important, as you know, to have those big horses up front leading the way.
It's a great point. 3 years ago, when Tommy and Mason and Murray and Bubba, we started up front, four out of the five. We started 10th graders, very talented players, but untested. We're back in that scenario now. You know, we're going to start and feature good players, but the reality is they're not battle-tested. And you know, some of them have a little bit of cleanup type of play, but they, you know, they haven't been in the fire from the start to the finish. That's where you got to depend on Miles Muro to really get this group to understand what it's going to take. But there's going to be growing pains, Bob. I'm telling you, you know, we sit there as a staff and we go, okay, we've made some progress. Then we'll make a bunch of mistakes in a practice and we'll go, all right, well, we got to get back to work,
right.
You know. And I think, you know, when I look at this football team, yeah, the defense is going to have to carry us. And then we got to bring the offense along. You know, young receivers is another glaring situation. Brew McCoy has to pull that crew together. But that's what makes it exciting. That's what rejuvenates me and my experienced staff, is to try to put the product together and see where we can take this race car, you know. And then a lot of it, as always, you know, we said this for every year that I've been the head coach, you got to stay injury-free. You know, we have certain areas where an injury here, an injury there is crucial. The fact that we've already lost Mace Funa, he was probably the most dominating junior we've had in a lot of years around here, and he's not going to be able to participate. I mean, yeah, people are saying a possibility of the playoffs. I can't count on that, not with the severity of his injury. So we have to prepare to not have his leadership and his abilities. But it's an opportunity for somebody else, and they have to step up.
And that's really the mentality, right? Next man up.
That's exactly what it is. You know, I can sit around and make excuses till the cows come home. Nobody cares. And as I've told them time and time again, There's always a target on a modern-day football's back. Well, that target is huge right
yeah.
now because of what you've accomplished and what the players of the past. Yeah, we have to defend it. So let's go defend it. It's an opportunity. You know, it's what you do with opportunity that separates you. Rest on your laurels. You'll look back saying, we should have been better. Don't rest on your laurels and say, okay, this is the 18 brand of modern-day football. Let's go get it.
Bruce Rollinson is our guest, head football coach at Modern Day High School, the defending national football champions. Now, you mentioned the IMG game just a couple of minutes ago, and that's huge. Everybody's talking about that, and some of the rules around that have changed now, and maybe this is a game that doesn't happen down the line, but it's going to happen this year. How exciting is it for you to put your team on a national stage like that and to put it up against, obviously, a program that this has obviously national implications to it as well?
Let's look at something. Okay, Bishop Amott, who we open with on August 17th, has a majority of their football mm-hmm. team back, along with an outstanding quarterback.
That's going to be a good team
yep,
this year, yeah.
A very good team. And I fascinated, and Bubba, you know how much I respect you. We have to go to Las Vegas and play a powerful, powerful Bishop Gorman team, and that's a nationally
yeah.
televised football game, which, because it is national television, we got to kick that thing off in the desert at 6 p.m. That ought to be a slice of heaven with 100-plus degrees on the field surface. So, you know, I say this respectfully. The last thing we're thinking about is IMG. You know, we got to get through some powerhouses and then see where we're standing. You know, if there's ever a year where you're saying it's 1 week at a time, it's this year. But when I get in these situations, I focus on us. Are we going to be a better football team at the end of the summer than we were at the start of the summer? I feel we're a better football team at the end of spring than we were at the start of spring. Their work ethic in the weight room and the off-season training, where we truly believe we're going to win a lot of football games, and there's not even a football, you know, it's in the weight room. But we're still in that molding process. I'm excited for this group, you know, with Harper and the Sean Dollars kid and with the infusion of some young receivers. I'm excited to see what they're capable of doing. So, you know, that's why you come back. You know, people say, well, you know, why didn't you retire after the national championship? It's a very simple answer. I look at it this way. As long as I feel like I'm giving something and getting something in return, and that's not just wins, okay, then I got the best job in America. Why retire? I like challenges. I like to be in my situation right now where people are, you know, saying there's a target. All right, well, you're hanging on me, and I'll lead them. It's very exciting for me, and you know, I look forward to coming to work every day. I look forward to coaching every day. So, you know, as long as that fire's still burning, and like I say, I feel like I'm getting something out of this and giving something and getting something back. You know, it's going to be an exciting year.
Yeah, it really is. Bruce Rollinson is our guest, and obviously much of that is the chess match. And I know you have so much respect for the other coaches in the Trinity League, your fellow coaches as well. But one of the big advantages I always think is the you have the opportunity to go to battle every week, and you know off to one side of you is Dave Money, on the other side is Eric Johnson, and all your other great assistant coaches, and these are the guys I really think that maybe don't get a lot of the headlines throughout the year, but they make such a big difference to have a Coach Money and a Coach Johnson with you for so many years now. Those guys make a huge difference in what this program has been able to accomplish.
I'm so glad. That's why I, you know, look forward to doing this show with you, because you recognize, you know, I'm the motivator. I could probably draw up five of our plays, and I could probably draw up two of our defenses. You know, that's not my forte. My forte is organization and motivation. But those two men, along with some very, very capable, experienced coaches, but Money and Johnson, you would not know if you went into their meetings and their installations, you would not know that we were the quote-unquote defending national champions. They don't look at that.
Yeah.
You know, know, they could care less about rings. You know, yeah, they were very, very satisfied at the end of the season. But very shortly thereafter, those are the first two guys that I sit down with. And they know that they've got a lot of work ahead of them. But they rise to that challenge. They go out, they study. You know, Dave Money has been to, he went to Oklahoma and studied there. He went to Texas and studied there. Obviously, he spent extensive time up at USC and Stanford. I don't worry about that. I don't worry about their commitment and their dedication. And I don't worry about that with John Hopkins or Frank McManus or Michelangelo Berrigan. Those guys have been with me, you know, some of them 16, 18 years. And they came up through the ranks. And I've got the addition of some new coaches. Dennis Wilbanks out of Corona Del Mar is now my line coach, and he's going to be outstanding. And I've got a really, really high-quality wide receiver coach, James Finley, the great Oregon player. James is at a Narbonne, and he's big-time receiver coach. So you infuse some younger coaches, and all of a sudden the juices are flowing. And, you know, that's what makes it fun.
Yeah, and it is fun. It's fun for us to watch, and I'm sure it's fun to be a part of. With everything else going on in your off season, you got a great honor recently from the Orange Catholic Foundation. As they're part of their business and ethics breakfast. You're one of the honorees. What was that like to be honored, by this great foundation, and what that breakfast and then the chance to be a part of that meant to you?
Well, you know, at first, Bob, you know me. I mean, you know me as well as most of the writers. You know, that's... I'm not in it for awards, you know, and I say this respectfully. At first I thought, well, Lifetime Achievement Award, well, I'm still coaching.
Right.
And, you know, I'm looking forward to a new season. But it's like my mentor said, it's part of being successful. What I learned is what a powerful organization that is. And you know, when you have the education of what their purpose is for Catholic schools and Catholic education, it was an honor that I was very grateful to receive. And, you know, I had the opportunity to speak to 1,000 people at the breakfast that day for, you know, almost 20, 30 minutes. And, you know, I believe in my message. I believe in my faith. I believe in what these people do, and obviously I'm a product of Catholic education from, you know, Yonkers, New York, to Holy Family, to Modern Day High School. So I got pretty emotional when they called me to the podium, and it was much more powerful than I had anticipated. I mean, I had to regroup to do my speech. Not because of the size of the crowd, I'm used to that, but I think the enormity of what they believe and that they would single me out as a recipient. So it was a great day for the Rawlinson family and all of my, you know, Catherine and my youngest and Caroline and my son-in-laws were there, and obviously my dear wife Lori was there, and I appreciated that it became a family event, because I'm nothing without them. I'm nothing without the great family support that I get and the understanding that they allow me to do this job and do it at a high level, which involves a lot of hours away from them. But I was extremely excited.
And it's not every day you can have breakfast with a cardinal, right? Cardinal Dolan was in attendance.
What a great guy he is. And what a powerful speech he delivered.
Well,
yeah, I got to follow that.
Yeah, right, yeah. Well, it was an honor well-deserved. We want to congratulate you on that as well. And I want to thank you for joining us again here. And we are already in football mode because this end of this school year means it's football season. We're excited about it, and it's coming up right around the corner. Coach, good luck, and we will talk to you soon.
You know I'm available to you guys anytime, any place, anywhere. keep up the great work that you do, and go Monarchs, baby.
Absolutely. We appreciate it, Coach. Thank you. That is Bruce Rawlinson, the head football coach at Modern Day High School, and you can hear it. He's as fired up as ever to get going on this new season. A little bit more right after this break. We'll be right back here on Relevant Radio.
Underwritten by the Roman Catholic Diocese of Orange, a community of 1.3 million Catholic faithful on a journey of faith together. In an increasingly secular and strained world, Catholic schools provide a safe and secure education environment with faith and family at its core. Our students are instilled with profound faith, deep humility, and inspiring integrity that they will carry with them. Learn more by visiting rcbo.org/Catholic Schools.
Welcome back once again to Catholic Sports View, where athletics meets faith, and we change gears from football to baseball now as we welcome in the California correspondent for Prep Baseball Report, and that is Les Lukacs. Les, welcome to the show once again.
Hey, Bob, thanks for having me. Really excited to be here. I know last time we talked a whole lot of Trinity League baseball, and looking forward to talking to some draft here.
Yeah, we're going to talk some Trinity League baseball a little bit later on, but let's focus on the draft. Now that you brought it up, as we speak, the draft is going to happen really soon here, and by the time everybody actually hears our interview, the draft will be over, and we'll kind of know where the guys have gone. But let's talk in a sense of the local prospects. I know you've seen just about everybody from Southern California and so many more across the nation as well. They're going to go in this draft. You know all the names as well as anybody. Not a big crop of kids from Southern California this year, not like we've seen in past years, but there is some really good talent, obviously, at the top.
Absolutely. You know, you're right. It's a little bit of a down year here in California, which means that there's only going to be potentially one or two or three first round draft picks, as opposed to recent years where, you know, we've had five, six, and seven. But yeah, you're right. At the top, it's pretty heavy. The man at the top for us at Prep Baseball Report, is Cole Wynn. Cole Wynn, we have him number six in our high school draft 100 and number 15 overall. Which in our overall draft board includes college players as well as high school players. So we have Cole in the 15th slot overall. There's a lot of word on the street, if you will, that he is potentially going to be a top five pick tonight. There's some talk of, you know, even going as high as number two to the Giants, which would be, you know, quite remarkable for, you know, Cole, a kid from Colorado originally who spent his senior year here playing at Orange Lutheran. But, you know, you can't go wrong with Wynn. 8-2 as a starter, you know, an ERA of .28, 114 strikeouts with only 11 walks. Opposing hitters only hit like 113 against him, which is pretty nuts. But the stat that really pops out to me is he gave up two earned runs this year in his 66-plus innings pitched, which when you think about is just simply remarkable, right? And ironically enough, he took the loss in both of those games, one to Huntington Beach, one to St. John Bosco. You know, you give up an earned run and you take a loss, that's pretty brutal. But, yeah, Cole Wynn and, you know, his magical right arm that produces 95, 96, 97 mile-an-hour fastballs, really good slider, really good changeup, and obviously a really good breaking ball. So, he's the guy at the top here for Southern California draft class in 2018.
Obviously, we're excited anytime a Trinity League kid is near the top like this. I guess the last time we had a prep, you know, right-hander that was this well thought of was Garrett Cole. Now, he went the college route before coming out of OLU, he went to UCLA before getting drafted. You know, this is a while since we've seen a prep right-hander this talked about, and a kid that went that potentially, as you said, could go this high in the draft from this area.
You're 100% correct. You know, the prep righties kind of have this stigma when it comes to the draft. You know, no prep righty has ever been taken number one overall. And so you're always cautious with prep pitchers to begin with, much less prep righties. But, you know, Cole Wynn, he seems to be cut from a different cloth. You know, obviously we've talked about how, you know, everybody seems to say he's just a better person than he is a pitcher. So, you know, that character makeup really stands out in the eyes of scouts. And I think that's why you're seeing such talk about him, you know, moving up and potentially going as high as number two to the Giants when the draft starts.
Les Lukacs is joining us from Prep Baseball Report. We're talking about the upcoming June amateur draft that happens every year, and we're talking about some of the top players from Southern California that are going to go in this draft. You know, you see so many pitchers, you watch so much baseball, and you see, you know, great kids out there. What makes Cole Winn, kind of separate himself from the rest of the pack as we've been able to see this year?
You know, you take the numbers aside, right? I mean, obviously throwing 95, 96 certainly helps, but you take that aside, it's the ability to command four pitches is what really separates Cole. I mentioned his slider. It's just a wipeout pitch. His changeup might be the best changeup of any prepster in this class. Mm. You know, that works 81, 83. He throws it on command. He throws it in. He throws it out. Then you add a curveball that's 76, 77. And all of these pitches, interestingly enough, project to add more velocity as he, you know, thickens out with his lower half and, maybe adds a little more mass to his shoulder area. This is a guy who's not a finished product, which is what's really interesting, because usually when you see a high school kid throwing, 95, 96, you're probably not going to see much more. But Cole Winn, kind of like, Garrett Cole, you talked about earlier, projects to add more velocity on all of his pitches, but it's his ability to command those four pitches, his ability to throw those pitches in any count, and his confidence to throw those pitches in any count, which is what really separates Cole Winn from just about everybody else in this class in the state of California, in my opinion. We actually put together a compilation video of 45 of his strikeouts just from games that we've seen. And of those 45, you see all four of those pitches being thrown as a putaway pitch, which you don't generally get from a high school pitcher, not in, in any area of the country, but, he's throwing four pitches as a strikeout pitch. That tells you his level of confidence in those pitches, but most importantly, his ability to throw those pitches for strikes, which is what really intrigued scouts.
Yeah, when I saw him at the Boris Classic, the thing that stood out to me right away was, his ability to repeat his mechanics over and over. And that's so huge for any pitcher at any level, but to be able to do that on the high school level, right? I mean, that just stands out right away.
You're 100% right. When he came to California, he started working with Mike Cosgrove, who is just kind of a pitching guru out in this area. And Kaz has really worked with him on his, not only his mechanics, but his delivery and just the repetition of that. There's so many little intricacies in pitching. Where does your foot land? Are you pulling off? Are you falling off to the side? Are you landing crossbody? So Kaz really worked with Cole to clean those things up. And Mike made a really good point to me recently was, Cole Winn is one of the few guys throughout the country, either on the high school or the collegiate level, that not only has cleaned up all those mechanics and showed an ability to repeat those, but he has gotten physically stronger and added velocity as the season goes on.
Wow.
Which says a lot about him. And it's accurate when we look through our notes. He was 92, 93 early in the season. Late in the season, he was 95 to 97. So he's certainly gotten stronger. He's added velocity, which, again, project really well for continued future growth.
So we talk about Cole Winn really, rocketing up the boards. When we talk about Bryce Terang, which is the other, big name in Southern California, and Bryce has obviously been on the radar for quite some time, it's really the opposite thing here. A lot of people are saying that teams are kind of soured on Bryce. A shortstop from Santiago High School out in Corona, big-time talent out there. But what's the word on Bryce right now? The teams are kind of talking about, maybe they're not quite sure where he kind of fits in this draft now.
I think one of the big things for Bryce was, coming into the season, he needed to show a little more power at the plate. After watching him for 3 years coming into this year, you say, okay, all the skill sets are there, right? He can obviously play defense at a high level. He runs very well. He has the arm strength. He can put the ball in play. The one kind of tool missing there was, is he going to hit for power and do it consistently enough? And I don't know that we got that answer this year. A lot of that has to do with the fact that, he's batting leadoff for Santiago. He's going to get, maybe two or three good pitches to hit in an entire game. Oftentimes he's looking to hit a pitch that may not be the ideal pitch to hit. He did hit a few out this year, so he did show some power. Was it on the level or the consistency that MLB scouts wanted to see. I don't know that is the case. But, you know, look, Terang is a guy, obviously, with bloodlines. His father played in the big leagues. You know, his sisters are all high-level elite softball players. Mom was a high-level athlete. This is a guy who's just a freak athlete. You know, he plays a premium position at shortstop. He has shown the ability to stay there at the pro level, you know, defensively with his arm, with his range. You know, the power, I think, is something that will come as he continues to fill out, and continues to develop. Another guy who, by all accounts, is just a really good person off the field as well. And speaking to some coaches, you know, they all rave about him as a person. So I think that Bryce is a guy who came in with really high expectations, you know, would have been the number one guy in the state, would it not been for Cole Wynn moving into California. I think Terang, who we have, again, on our high school board at number 7 and on our overall board at number 16, is a guy who should hear his name called in the first day, in the first round. You know, at worst, in my opinion, he's a compensation pick, you know, kind of the sandwich pick there after the first round. But Wynn is a guy who, again, plays a premium position, shows the ability to stay at that position. The bat plays now, and who is a guy who I think's power is going to project and come in the future.
And that was going to be my next question to you. Is that a skill that you can project, you know, into a kid and maybe say, hey, the body's going to fill out, he's going to get into you know, a major league program, and they're going to be able to help him develop that skill?
I think so, because he is, you know, he's twitchy strong now. He obviously has some strength throughout his body now. But you look at him, he's still pretty lean. You look at his shoulders and again, you look at his parents and you say, okay, there's room for growth here. And I think the physical development will kind of take care of itself with him. What impresses me with Bryce is, like you mentioned, he's a guy that we've known about since his freshman year.
Yeah.
And the only thing he's done is continue to get better since then. You know, he has not obviously gone out and hit 15 home runs his senior year, but he went out and he hit a handful of them, again, showing that his body projects. The thing that I notice about Bryce is he may not be hitting the ball over the fence, but he's hitting the ball into the gaps very hard. You know, it's not like he's hitting these dribblers through the infield. He's hitting some lasers through the outfield into the gaps, and again, allowing his athleticism and his speed to take over, you know, once he does that. He's a guy that I'm not worried about when it comes to the power projection. I think it's going to come without hampering all of his other skill sets.
Les Lukacs is our guest. He covers the state of California for Prep Baseball Report, prepbaseballreport.com. The other kid, I guess, that has a chance to go in the first round, maybe he's a sandwich pick, maybe he kind of slips a little bit up beyond that, is Matt McClain, another middle infielder, a shortstop who had a great year at Beckman High School. Some people say it's in Tustin, it's in Irvine. And it's right on the border there, I know, for sure, Beckman High School. But yeah, another kid who is talked about and looks the part, right?
Yeah, 100%. Matt looks the part. You know, he's a little on the smaller size. I think he's listed at 5'10", 5'11". But, you know, he's a physical kid. I mean, this kid is a gym rat when it comes to the weight room. Just a really, really strong kid. Has not hampered his speed whatsoever. Certainly adding the mass that he did over the last year and a half has not hampered his ability to, you know, his technique or in throwing the ball or certainly in fielding. The one question on Matt coming into the year, it was his power. Is he going to hit for power? Is he going to drive in runs? Is he going to be a leadoff type guy? You know, will he bat fourth or fifth, you know, in a lineup at the pro ball level, you know, or will he bat first, second, or third? He did not have the power numbers that you would have liked to seen this year. You know, I think he didn't drive in a whole lot of runs. I don't have the figure off the top of my head, but I believe somebody told me it was under 30, which is a little bit surprising. Hmm. But, you know, what you're getting with McClain is an elite defender with a strong arm, the ability to hit, the ability to run into some balls and drive them over the wall presently, and I think that will continue to develop. But what you get first and foremost is a leader. There is no question whose team that was, you know, that Beckman team this year, which had a lot of seniors on it, a lot of guys that played together for a long time. But, you know, that was Matt McClain's team, and just in watching them about a half dozen times this year, you knew that right out of the way right out the gate, excuse me. But what you saw was a leader that was genuine, a leader that cared. It wasn't forced. It wasn't, hey, look at me. I'm the best player on the team, therefore I'm the leader. It was, hey, look at me. This is the type of player I am. This is the type of leader I am. Follow my lead. And guys certainly did that. I love Matt McClain. I remember seeing him as a freshman and thinking this kid has the skill set to be a, you know, an elite player. And, you know, fortunately I was right with that one, and it kind of, you know, played itself out. But, you know, McClain is a guy we have number 31 on our high school top 100 and number 64 overall. He's a guy who, in my opinion, at worst is a second round pick. And he's a guy who's aided by a player being drafted last year, a player by the name of Nick Allen, who is very similar, smaller in stature, strong physical kid, plays shortstop, you know, shows the skill set to be able to stay at shortstop. You know, Nick Allen was taken by the A's last year, pretty high, I want to say second or third round. And I think that's kind of where you'll see McClain taken here over the next couple of days in the draft.
How much does it mean that, you know, obviously head coach Kevin LaValle has put together a great program over at Beckman. They're a top program every year. And, you know, James Caprilian drafted out of that Beckman program, you know, one of the top minor league pitchers right now. Does it help when a high school program gets a good reputation as being able to, you know, put kids into the pros? How much does that help a kid kind of up and coming sometimes?
I think it really helps in the evaluation process, right? I don't know that it helps a specific kid in terms of, you know, projecting that particular player or looking at his abilities. I think it helps in the evaluation process as a whole. When it comes time to make a decision, you know that a kid from Beckman, for example, in this example, is going to be well coached. He's going to be, you know, learned in the systems. He's going to have a good foundation. I mean, aside from Kevin LaValle, you have David Goldstein, the pitching coach who, you know, pitched at Long Beach State. He, you know, pitched in pro ball. So I think it helps when it comes to making a decision on a player that, look, we know this guy has been taught well. We know that this kid is going to, he's a learner, you know, those sorts of things. Does it help a particular kid, for example, in this case, does it help Matt that James Caprilian, you know, has done what he's done and will do? I don't know that it helps. I think it helps, again, knowing that, hey, that same coaching staff coached Caprilian, that coached McClain. So we know that, you know, this McClain is going to know some stuff that maybe other kids don't when it comes to, you know, the draft process or you know, or getting ready for college.
Let's take a quick break right here on Catholic Sports U, and we will have more with Les Lukacs from Prep Baseball Report when we come back. Stay with us right here on Relevant Radio.
I'm Chris Mueller.
And I'm Timory Millington.
Hey, on Trending, we discuss today's most relevant topics from sex to social media.
These aren't topics that are awkward or uncomfortable at all to bring up with family and friends.
We're called to be a light in the world and challenge modern ideologies for the kingdom of God and for eternal salvation.
That can feel discouraging sometimes, but here on Trending, we try to help equip you to know what's going on in the world and bring our faith into the conversation.
Hey, so listen Sundays on Relevant Radio, or you can find episodes of Trending with Chris and Timory podcast on iTunes or the iHeartRadio app.
Welcome back to Catholic Sports Feed, where athletics meets faith, and we're visiting with Les Lukacs from Prep Baseball Report. And let's change gears a little bit, Les, and talk about some of the other things going on within the Trinity League and within Southern California. Who are some other kids? Obviously they're further down your draft board, I'm sure, but other kids maybe from the Trinity, from Southern California, who could hear their names called in the at some point in this draft this year.
Yeah, there's a handful of other kids, you know, Chandler Champlain from Santa Margarita, the big right-handed pitcher committed to USC. We have 48 in our high school draft, 100 and 110 overall. You know, big physical, strong right-handed pitcher, sits 92, 93, touches 95, got a pretty good breaking ball. You know, there was some issues this year. Rumors, if you will, circulating, about Chandler, maybe some character issues, which I have not had confirmed with everybody I've talked to. Everybody I've talked to, for the most part, says, you know, he's a good kid. He's a hyper-competitive kid. You know, he was obviously the ace for Santa Margarita this year. You know, he'll have a decision whether to go pro ball or go to USC. Cam Guangarena from St. John Bosco, formerly Cam Ojeda. We have him 58 in our draft 100, 133 overall. You know, left-handed hitting power hitting catcher. You know, that's a premium, a left-handed bat from that position. You know, he does a really good job behind the plate where he's a very good defender. There are at times some mental lapses behind the plate, but all in all, Guangarena is he's probably the best catching prospect in the state right now. And again, being a left-handed hitter, that certainly helps. This is a kid a lot like McLean, a lot like Terang. We've known for a number of years. You know, when you're starting as a freshman at behind the plate in the Trinity League, you know, people are going to know about you.
That says something.
Yeah, exactly. You know, in Guangarena, you know, I think he'll have a decision whether to sign a pro contract or go play at Cal State Fullerton. Where should he land there? I think, you know, it sets up really, really well. Left-handed bats do really well at Goodwin Field, where the wind tends to blow out a little bit to right. You know, the other guy on the list is Cole Roederer, a outfielder from Hart High School, who is a UCLA commit. We have him number 65 in our draft 100, high school draft 100, and number 164 overall. Roederer is 6-foot, 180-pound left-handed hitting outfielder that has shown a lot of raw power. He can hit the ball over the fence, runs really well, shows a lot of range in the outfield. He's dealt with injury to a shoulder this year, which may knock him down some pegs come draft time. You know, a lot of people kind of see him going to UCLA, but you just never know how these things will play out. But Roederer will be an interesting name to follow come draft time. And then the last guy I wanted to mention was Brandon Dieter. He's a right-handed pitcher, shortstop out of South Hills High School in West Covina. He's a Stanford commit. We have him number 80 on our draft 100, number 192 on our draft board overall. Here's a guy that, you know, I mean, he won Team USA 18U National Team MVP honors. He got the start and got the win in the gold medal winning game last year. You know, he also hit somewhere in the neighborhood of 300. With several RBIs for Team USA last summer. The question with him is he going to pitch or is he going to hit, play shortstop at Stanford or, you know, in pro ball? He doesn't wow you, you know, he doesn't light up the radar guns, but where he does wow you is his three-pitch mix and his command. Real cerebral kid. I saw him pitch against Servite in the playoff game. And he made an in-game adjustment after Servite seemed to start picking up on his fastball. He started throwing a cutter, which just was, you know, unhittable for the most part. And when he did get hit, you know, really weak contact. And I was talking to his pitching coach after the game, and he said that he walked off the mound in the fourth inning, and his coach asked him about the pitch he threw, and it was an in-bat switch to go to this cutter. And so
wow.
That gives you an idea of how how intelligent Brandon Dieter is. Those sorts of smarts have the MLB scouts really intrigued on him. So he'll be a guy that'll be interesting to see where he goes come draft time and see where, you know, where he falls, whether at Stanford or, you know, with the team that selects him should he be selected.
Let's switch gears a little bit now and talk about some of the other issues going around prep baseball. And I know you've been following. I guess the big breaking news, and it caught me off guard, and I want to get your thoughts on it, is at Modern Day High School, where the contract of head coach Bert Call was not renewed. No real reason given why that didn't happen. Obviously, you look at the product on the field this year. It was a losing season. First time in, I don't know, 40, 45 years, I guess, that Modern Day's had a losing season overall. Not a good year, obviously, for Modern Day. But after 19 years to part ways with Bert Call, shocked me. What was your reaction to it?
Well, I was pretty surprised. You know, I think that, you know, you hit the nail on the head. There was a number of different factors at play there. You know, there's a lot of rumor and innuendo going on about what, you know, what really happened there. And, you know, without diving into that, I was surprised. You know, Bert, if you know him, is, you know, just one of the most genuine, honest, caring people you'll ever meet. You know, he's just a phenomenal person, and what he's done for that program is really remarkable. But yeah, I was surprised that he was his contract was not renewed. That opens the door to what I believe is one of the top jobs in the country. With the historical program there, you know, for the first time in close to, I think, over 40 years was the number, I think 41 or 42 years that, you know, modern day is looking for a head baseball coach.
Yeah.
You know, so this is something that is not common. Obviously, you know, there's a lot of names being bantered around as to who might be the replacement there. You know, some of them a little bit surprising, others not so surprising. One thing I do know for sure is that, you know, Bert Call will rebound from this, will land on his feet. You know, a guy like Bert, who offers so much, not only on the field, but in the classroom, where, you know, he's an outstanding teacher as well. You know, I think any program, any high school in the area would be lucky to have him, whether that's as a head coach, you know, or if a program brings him in as an assistant coach, which I've heard could be the case
right.
In a couple of different places. I think that program and those players will benefit from having a guy like Bert Call in the dugout, that's for sure.
He's a Capo Valley guy. Capo Valley just won a CIF title. They have a coach who may be on the verge of it. All the stars could align in the right way for Bert Call. But bottom line, he's not going to last long as a free agent, right? I mean, someone's going to snap. Bert Call, you know, probably forgot more about coaching than most of us knew in the first place. Such a great guy, as you mentioned. It won't take long for him to get a job out there, for sure.
I cannot imagine that we get to the fall and Bert Call's not a coach.
So. Right. Absolutely. Yeah. As far as some of the names you hear popping up for that modern day job, yeah, obviously we know Brett Kay has connections to modern day. I would find it very hard to believe he would leave Jay Sarah to come take that job. But names like that are going to pop up on the radar.
There's certainly some names that have popped up. You know, to be fair and to be respectful of their current situations, I won't necessarily name any names.
Right.
But you know, there's four high school coaches whose names have been brought up repeatedly to me. I have spoken to three of them. Three of those coaches have all said that in one way or another that they would listen, you know, to modern day. I mean, let's face it, it's modern day, right? I mean, you're going to listen. It's funny, I've had inquiries from a lot of, college-level coaches who would be interested in the position. I mean, it's that good of a job where, you know, you're talking about some college guys at junior college Division II and even the Division I level that would be interested in listening or, you know, putting their name in the hat for that job. But you're right. There are a number of different high school coaches. Some make more sense than the other. You know, obviously, Brett has ties to the program, played there. I spoke with Brett, and I'm with you. I find it very hard to believe or hard to see a scenario in which Brett would leave everything that he has at Jay Sarah to make a move to his alma mater. But look, that pull of coming home for some is kind of hard to pass up, right? I mean, especially when you played there and were a standout there. It's kind of hard to pass that up if the opportunity were to arise.
Really means something when you put that MD gear on, you know, whether it's football, basketball, any sport, right? If you're a Monarch, that really means something, right? You know,
I mean, let's face it, it is the premier high school in Orange County,
yeah.
In my opinion. I'm sure I'll catch a lot of heat for saying that, but, you know, the history, the tradition, what they've done and their their entire history, right? It's not just the last 15, 20 years. I mean, we're talking 50, 60, 70 years that modern day has been the program for athletics in every sport. So, I mean, it's the program. So if they come calling, you'd be hard pressed to not pick up the phone and want to hear what they have to say.
Well, I'll take it a step further even and maybe say that it's the premier high school in Southern California. So I'll take the heat. I'll probably catch more heat than you for that. So.
Well, I mean, you're right. I mean, you could say, you know, there's some that would argue the state and the nation.
Yeah, and you could do that. It's true.
right. What they've done on not only a local, regional, statewide, and you know now even a national level, some would argue that, and you would get no complaints from me on that.
Les Lukacs is joining us, Prep Baseball Report. He covers the state of California for Prep Baseball Report. And as we were talking about in our previous segment, wrapping up all the stuff for the pro baseball draft coming up here, the amateur draft that happens every June. And we're talking some other baseball stuff going on. CIF playoffs just wrapped up. We have all of our CIF champions. And just like they drew it up, like everybody knew was going to happen in Division I, Capel Valley and Foothill in the final, right? I went on air and I told everybody before this happened, I said, hey, roll the dice, flip a coin. You never know who's going to end up in the finals of this D1. And sure enough, two teams that really weren't on anybody's radar for the most part ended up playing for the CIF championship.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, Capel Valley had a really strong season. Obviously, prior to that and kind of the last week of the season, dropped 2-3 to El Toro. To lose their league championship, but man, did they get hot at the right time. Foothill.
Yep.
I mean, there was no hotter team coming into the postseason than Foothill, and I got a chance to see them play against Etiwanda in their, I guess that was the quarterfinal game, and man, I was just thoroughly impressed. And I was at that game on Saturday night watching Capel Valley beat Foothill, and it was a 2-1 game here, right? I mean, Bob, we're talking a 2-1 game. I mean, this was a game where Doherty for Capel Valley gave up 3 hits and Torek for Foothill only gave up 4 hits.
Right.
So, it was everything you would want in a Division I championship game. And just what a neat game. I mean, the crowds were phenomenal all day over at Cal State Fullerton for that particular game, for the D1 final. I mean, it was suffocating. I was sitting right in the middle behind the plate, and there were very few empty seats at Cal State Fullerton. The crowd was loud. It was energetic. They were into every pitch. Starting in the fifth inning, you started to get some standing, people standing, clapping and cheering. I mean, I hope CIF really took note and are able to do that moving forward, because, a crowd of 2,500, 2,800 at Cal State Fullerton compared to 2,500, 2,800 at Dodger Stadium is just so much better, and it's so much better for the game, and the players and the fans are right on top of you as players. It was really neat. But hats off to Capel Valley, and head coach Bob Zamora in his 41st year. Here's a fun fact that I learned there, Bob. Bob Zamora is 7-7 in CIF championship games, which is just remarkable.
Is he really? Wow, I didn't know that. 7%.
Yeah, they at the end of the game there, and I just blew my mind.
Yeah, no kidding. 7-7.
And I was ironically enough, after the game, I was standing there talking to, about 5 or 6 coaches who had been eliminated from it, and to a man, they're all just talking about other stuff, and they all say, "Can you believe that he is 7-7?" They're blown away. And I think between those guys, there was, I think, 2 titles and maybe 4 visits to the championship game. So it was just impressive. But Capel Valley, like I said, those guys, I heard a lot from them in the beginning of the season that, hey, don't sleep on us. We've got, all these college commits and, we're a really good team. And, it showed itself on Saturday. Ryan Doherty with just a really, really good performance for them on the mound, at the plate, running the bases. He was, in my opinion, the MVP of that game. I mean, it was just awesome. It was just an awesome experience to be there. Good for Capel Valley, and, tip of the cap to Foothill, because, like you said, not a lot of people had either of these two teams in. And to make it to the finals, to play for the title, is just something that those guys will never forget.
Les, I want to thank you so much for all your great insight, for taking us through the draft a little bit here, and getting us through this baseball season. We'll do it again soon, because, as we mentioned, it's right around the corner.
Awesome. Hey, I appreciate you having me on all season long. Can't wait for next season. And until then, be sure to check us out at PrepBaseballReport.com.
Absolutely. That is Les Lukacs, covers the state of California for PrepBaseballReport.com. Want to thank Les and, of course, our guest from earlier on, the head football coach at Modern Day, Bruce Rawlinson. And I want to thank you for listening once again to us here on Catholic Sports View on Relevant Radio. CatholicSportsView@gmail.com is our email address if you want to catch us there. And we are also on Twitter at CatholicSV. Again, that's at CatholicSV. That is our Twitter handle. Give us a follow there as well, and take a moment to correspond with us if you so choose. Thanks again for joining us right here on Catholic Sports View. I'm Bob Gibson, and we'll see you next week.